Good morning and welcome to Simply Science. It's Saturday, April 6th. On today's show, Chinese researchers reconstruct the face of an ancient emperor using a new DNA technique, and we explore the science behind a total solar eclipse. Plus, we discuss how to adapt to evolving life science regulations with benchmark products. This coverage and more, up next. I'm David, and you're listening to Simply Science. We start off with an intriguing story from the world of archaeology. Chinese archaeologists have reconstructed the face of an emperor who lived 1,500 years ago using new methods to analyze ancient DNA. This has also led to new clues about what may have caused his early death. Here to discuss this further is Celeste, a correspondent for Simply Science. Can you tell us more about this emperor and the new findings?
Certainly, David. The emperor in question is Emperor Wu, who ruled over the Northern Zhou Dynasty until his death in 578 AD at the age of 36. Ancient texts have suggested that he died from poison, either accidentally through taking toxic substances as an elixir or deliberately at the hands of an enemy. This theory was supported when his bones, rediscovered in 1996, were found to contain a larger than normal amount of arsenic. However, a recent analysis of the emperor's DNA suggests he may have had an increased susceptibility to stroke.
Interesting. And how did they come to this conclusion?
The team, led by researchers from Fudan University, analyzed the emperor's DNA obtained from his limb bones. They cited the Book of Zhou, an official history of the dynasty, which said that before his death, he exhibited symptoms such as drooping eyelids, blindness, and an abnormal gait, all possible symptoms of a stroke. They also used forensic reconstruction, which involves scanning facial bones to work out what someone looked like, and combined it with DNA analysis to determine a person's facial structure and genetic features.
What challenges did the team face during this process?
The team faced a significant challenge due to a high level of degradation from DNA samples of Emperor Wu's limb bones. To address this issue, they optimized a new technical solution specifically for highly degraded samples, including a method to capture short DNA fragments and probes designed specifically for ancient DNA. Using their new method, they were able to obtain 1 million usable genetic loci from just 50 milligrams of the emperor's ground-up bones.
And what did they find out about Emperor Wu's appearance and health?
The team found that Emperor Wu would have had a typical East or Northeast Asian appearance, with dark hair, brown eyes, and an intermediate to dark skin color. They also concluded he may have had an increased susceptibility to diseases such as stroke, gout, and leukemia.
What about his ancestry?
The team's analysis concluded that around 60% of his ancestry was Xianbei, a nomadic people who founded the Northern Zhou Dynasty. The rest of his DNA resembled that of communities found along the Yellow River, suggesting he also had Han Chinese ancestors.
What are the implications of this research for the future?
This technique could allow for more detailed research into other ancient skeletal samples and could allow researchers to solve more major, high-profile, and difficult cases. In the future, the team plans to analyze more samples from different time periods and ancient cultures, in hopes of constructing a genetic lineage tree of all East Asian peoples, establishing connections between modern and ancient populations, and writing the genealogy of the Chinese nation.
Thanks for that update, Celeste. Now let's shift our focus to the life science sector, where companies are grappling with rapid technological changes and evolving regulations, such as the recent EU GMP Annex 1 regulations for the manufacture of sterile medicinal products. Benchmark Products, a key player in this sector, is setting an example by adapting its quality assurance practices and investing in updated facilities. Bella, a correspondent for Simply Science, is here to discuss this further. Bella, can you tell us more about the challenges life science companies are facing?
Certainly, David. The life science industry is a rapidly evolving field, with new technologies and regulations constantly emerging. This can pose significant challenges for companies, as they must adapt quickly to maintain compliance and ensure the safety and efficacy of their products. The recent EU GMP Annex 1 regulations, for instance, have set new standards for the manufacture of sterile medicinal products, requiring companies to update their quality assurance practices and facilities.
And how is Benchmark Products addressing these challenges?
Benchmark Products is taking a proactive approach to these challenges. According to their CEO, Tom Caffery, they have updated their quality assurance measures and stocked new GMP Annex 1 products to ensure compliance with the latest standards. They have also invested in upgrading their facilities, including expanding their ISO Class 7 cleanrooms and achieving ISO 9002:2015 certification. These actions underscore Benchmark's commitment to maintaining world-class quality standards.
What does this mean for the industry as a whole?
Benchmark's approach sets a precedent for other companies in the life science industry. By proactively adapting to new regulations and investing in updated facilities, they are demonstrating a commitment to quality and compliance. This could encourage other companies to follow suit, leading to overall improvements in the industry's standards and practices.
That's certainly a positive development. Thanks for that report, Bella. Now, shifting from terrestrial to celestial phenomena, let's talk about total solar eclipses, one of the most spectacular events we can witness from Earth. Here with us today is Michael, a correspondent for Simply Science, to shed some light on the science behind this phenomenon. So, Michael, what exactly is a total solar eclipse?
A total solar eclipse occurs when the moon passes directly between the Earth and the sun, completely obscuring the sun's light and casting a shadow on Earth. This alignment of celestial bodies is a rare event, and it's what makes a total solar eclipse so special.
And why are these events considered rare?
Well, several factors contribute to the rarity of total solar eclipses. Firstly, the moon's orbit is tilted relative to Earth's orbit around the sun, so the moon, Earth, and sun don't always align perfectly. Secondly, the moon's shadow is quite small compared to the size of the Earth, so it only covers a small area during an eclipse. Lastly, the moon is slowly moving away from the Earth, which means that in the distant future, total solar eclipses will no longer occur.
That's fascinating. Can you tell us more about the science behind these events?
Certainly. During a total solar eclipse, the moon's shadow travels across the Earth's surface. This shadow consists of two parts: the umbra, which is the dark center where the sun is completely blocked, and the penumbra, which is the outer part where the sun is only partially blocked. Observers in the umbra experience a total solar eclipse, while those in the penumbra see a partial eclipse. The duration of the total eclipse can vary, but it's typically very short, lasting only a few minutes.
Thanks for that enlightening report on solar eclipses, Michael. In other news, a 4.8 magnitude earthquake recently shook the Northeast, marking the third strongest earthquake to hit the region in the last 50 years. This event is particularly unusual, as the Northeast isn't near the edge of a tectonic plate. Here to delve into the science behind earthquakes is James, a correspondent for Simply Science. Can you explain to us how earthquakes are measured and what causes them?
Certainly, David. Earthquakes are measured using the Richter scale, where every magnitude is 10 times as strong as the size before it. As for what causes them, it's all about the movement of tectonic plates. These are large slabs of rock that make up the Earth's surface. They move constantly, albeit very slowly, about a half inch per year. Most earthquakes occur when these plates meet or move away from each other.
So, there are different types of plate movements that can cause earthquakes.
Yes, there are three main types. First, we have convergent movements, where two plates collide. This can form mountains or volcanoes, as we see on the West Coast. Then there's divergent movement, where plates move away from each other, creating cracks in the Earth's surface. If this happens in the ocean, magma can erupt from the inner Earth and create new Earth crust. Lastly, we have transform movements, also known as strike-slip faults. This is when two plates move past each other, much like rubbing your hands together. The San Andres Fault Line in California is an example of a transform boundary.
And which of these movements produces the strongest earthquakes?
The convergent collision, where two plates collide, produces the strongest earthquakes. On the other hand, divergent movements, where plates move away from each other, create the weakest earthquakes.
But the recent earthquake in the Northeast wasn't near the edge of a tectonic plate. How did that happen?
That's a great point. Stress within a plate can also produce an earthquake, which is what happened in the Northeast. Even though it's rare, earthquakes can occur in areas that are not near the edge of a tectonic plate.
That's certainly something to think about. Thanks for that enlightening report on the shaking science of earthquakes, James. And with that, we wrap up our stories for today. Thanks for listening to Simply Science. We'll see you back here tomorrow.